During Lent, we have been studying the book "I Am a Church Member" by Tom S. Rainer, and we have learned about membership in Christ's church, and it might not have been what we expected. But together we have learned to be a functioning church member, to be a unifying church member, and to not let the church be about our preferences and our desires. But today we're going to explore praying for our church leaders. So the running joke is that pastors and probably musicians only work one day a week. Just Sunday. We just, boom, it all appears on Sunday. But that's not the case. Let me tell you about a day I had not long ago. It was a Tuesday, and here is how the day went. I got up at 6:15 in the morning and pulled out all the things for my daughter's lunch so that she could grab it and her breakfast on the way out to the bus. Then I dropped off the other daughter at before-school childcare and arrived here. Almost immediately, I had a meeting with another member about a upcoming program we were doing here. That was followed up with staff meeting, and I finished up my sermon for the week and planned the order of worship. Then I finished up the details on an upcoming special service and returned emails and phone calls. Then I counseled with a person who had walked into the office requesting money, and I offered her the information about local places where she could get that kind of help and had a word of prayer before sending her on her way. Then I met with my co-leader for the new member class, and we began to finish up the details of that class. I was home for a quick dinner with my family and back to attend a discipleship meeting. Then I spent the 20 minutes driving home on the phone with a friend who was in crisis and counseling with her, arriving home about 8:15 for time to check in with my husband, Craig, and to relax for the night. Now, not every day is like this. Believe it or not, this was a relatively easy day. The hard days come when there's a conflict with a church member or a health crisis with someone connected to the church, a funeral to plan, or a crisis at home. So this leads us all to the question, do you pray for your pastors and staff? Lori has the gift of intercessory prayer. She uses her gifts to pray for many people, but she especially uses it to pray for her pastors. When serving as her pastor, I was blessed to be the recipient of these prayers. It started with an email when she wrote me and said, you know, I was praying for you this morning and I really felt like there was something going on and I just said an extra prayer for you. And it was a really rough day. And I'm like, yes, thank you for the prayers. It was a tough day today. And this kept happening time and again where Lori would feel the call of God on her saying something's going on with Pastor Kathleen and she would put an extra prayer in. So finally decided just to short circuit it and tell her what my prayer requests were and she could just know what she was praying for instead of having to listen for them. She was amazing to have as a gift in my congregation. And the most interesting time of prayer is one morning after her time of prayer, she turns to her husband and she said, I think Kathleen's pregnant. And her husband is like, are you out of your mind? I know you two have this link, but really? And she says, no, just God's telling me that this is what's going on with her. And they walked into church that morning to hear me announce that we were expecting a bonus baby in 6 months. She's a wonderful bonus. And it was just amazing. Her husband's just like, I give up. You and God and Kathleen have got something going here. But those prayers mean so much to me and meant so much during my time there. Praying for your staff and your pastors is an amazing experience because we are usually the ones pouring out the prayer. If we are gathered in a gathering and there's prayer needed, who are they looking at? The pastors. Even if it's your own family, it's the pastor. So it is so nice when somebody else pours that back into us and lifts us up in prayer. So do not ever doubt the power of your prayers for us. Now that list in 1 Timothy is kind of intimidating, extremely challenging. I am not sure why the choir was laughing. They probably know too much about their staff. But that list is not possible without the Holy Spirit helping us. Now listen to it again. The leaders must be without fault, faithful to their spouse, sober, modest, honest, show hospitality, skilled at teaching, not addicted to alcohol. Don't be a bully. Be gentle and peaceable. Don't be greedy and manage your own household well. That seemed to get a lot of laughs out of them. I'm not sure what that means. Sorry, Ben. Maybe it's you. But part of the challenge of being a pastor or staff member is this high expectation that we will always be walking with Christ even when we clock out. So we are still always representing Christ in the world, and our behavior needs to reflect it no matter where we are. It's not something we shed at the door when we walk out. It's a lifestyle, and this lifestyle can only be achieved with the help of the Holy Spirit. It is often interesting when we come for our first introduction to the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And during those introductions, the spouse comes with. So here comes my husband, Craig, and we come in and we get introduced. Here's your new pastor, here's your new church, and we have a conversation. But they never know what to do with Craig. Every single one never know what to do with him. He's not your typical pastor spouse. He doesn't serve tea and crumpets. He does not play the piano, and he's not going to be working with all the preschoolers. What do you do with him? He's usually the first clergy husband that the congregation has ever had, and they just don't know what to do with him. And so finally, at some point, every time in that introduction, someone says, well, Craig, what kind of ministry do you do? And his response is, my job is to support my wife so she can serve the church. So you don't see my husband's ministry, but this is what it looks like. He's the one who gets the children here on Sunday morning clean and dressed and ready to go and make sure that they get home eventually. He's the one that keeps our house clean, because if it were up to me, we'd live in a pigsty. Thank God my husband likes to clean and he knows how to make the children do it. It's just a godsend. But the most important piece of ministry that my husband does for me is he is my sounding board. He is there when I am super excited about a new ministry and when I am wounded and I have to walk through that pain and figure out how to get to the other side. I cannot do my ministry without him, but you never see the ministry he does. So each committee has learned that, yes, indeed, Craig is not a stereotypical pastor's wife. He will participate in the ministries of the church as he's able, but his biggest ministry you will never see. And that is why our families need our prayers. Our prayers for the pastors and staff should include their families and support structure. And if you look at our staff, even just our clergy, we are in various stages of life. So here are some suggestions on ways to pray for us. For our pastors and staff who are single, pray for close friends for them that are able to provide the support needed to do this ministry. We can't do it alone. We have to have people supporting us. Pray for those single folks that they have friends who are not a part of this congregation, someone who can stand on the outside and tell them things are going well or things are not going well, but they're not caught up in what's right in front of them. We also pray for their extended family, whether they are in town or out of town. They're still the support structure of our single pastors and staff. Now, we have other folks on staff who have children that are still in the house, children out of the house, and some of them have grandchildren. So the prayers for them are a little bit different. The first prayer is for a healthy marriage for those who are still married. We pray for the young children to be protected from the adult challenges of ministry. We pray for older children to find their faith and claim it for their own and live out that faith. And we pray for genuine friendships for our spouses and children. The families and close friends of our pastors and staff are on the front line. Ministry is challenging, and those folks experience both the joys and the challenges more than most church members do. So please keep them in your prayers, for our ministry would not be as good without them. We also need prayers of protection for us. I had been at a church for about 6 months when Sarah asked to speak to me after church. And the conversation began with, I hate your robe. okay. So I explained to her why I was wearing a robe. For you women, you will understand this. Having a battery pack in your pocket is really hard when you're a woman because we don't have pockets in our dresses, okay? So practicality, robes are great for that. The other reason I would wear a robe is because then people would focus on what I'm saying, not on what I'm wearing, and saying, oh my gosh, she just wore that dress 2 weeks ago. I can't believe she wore it again. So there's no focusing on that. It's focused on what is going on in the service. And lastly, it was a blended service. So it was perfectly appropriate to be wearing a robe. But that's how the conversation began. That wasn't good enough because then she continued on and said, I really like you, but I don't think women should be ministers. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, this young woman was younger than me. And in fact, when we had come to the church, my husband and I thought, oh, this is going to be a really great couple to hang out with. She and her husband were similar in age, a little bit younger, but their kids were of the same age as our kids. This is going to be a really neat friendship. And we were really excited by this. And this is what came out of her mouth. So I held it together. I held my tongue. And I wished her well as she moved to her next congregation. And that encounter hurt a lot. But I knew that it wasn't really about me. It was about something that was happening in her faith journey. And the irony is, as I watched her go away, I watched her daughter with a call to ministry that I have never seen so strong in a child before, and really curious what's going to happen there. You see, her stuff needed some place to go, and she couldn't see God, so she took it all on God's representative that she could see and put it all on me. Now, the joy of that is a lot of times we can watch people grow through those stages of grief and anger, and sometimes they just have to walk away, and it's hard work and it's rewarding work, but it is challenging. And it is only through prayer that we can get through those kinds of things. Prayer allowed me to let go of what was going on with Sarah and to trust that her new congregation would care for her and for her daughter especially. Pastors and staff are often targets this way. It's just a place for displaced emotions and faith struggles. Prayer is what helps us face those situations with calm and grace, and a willingness to be a part of the healing process. But we can't do that without your prayers. Now, in that list of leadership qualities that Timothy gave, it begins with saying that a leader is above reproach. And depending on your translation, it might mean that a leader does not give people a reason to criticize, that they're well thought of, that they're blameless, but you don't want to be able to find fault with a leader. Here's a little secret. Your pastors have flaws, just in case you didn't know. But it's what you choose to do with the fact that we have flaws that makes a difference. You can choose to attack the flaws that we have and that we know God calls us flawed as we are. Or you can choose to lovingly help us to correct them and offer to help. Without appropriate support, some of the pastors live into those flaws and they end up with moral failings because the struggle within was so great and nobody even noticed. Pastors and staff need prayers of protection, the prayers that protect us from the attacks both on the outside and within. Now, many of your pastors love the church, and we love what we do, and our staff does as well. And we have this tendency to not take good care of our health so that we can take care of you. In fact, the statistics I'm going to give you are from the Barna Research and also from our own General Board of Pension and Health Benefits. And this is what we know about clergy health. This is just clergy. In terms of our physical health, 72% of pastors report working between 55 and 75 hours a week. 75% of pastors report a significant stress-related crisis at least once in their ministry. United Methodist clergy have higher than average obesity rates, cholesterol rates, asthma, and diabetes. Yeah. And our mental health isn't much better at times. 84% of pastors feel like they are on call 24/7. And 65% of pastors feel that they have not taken enough vacation time with their families in the last 5 years. 7% suffer from depression, 26% have depressive symptoms, and 11% are being treated for depression and managing those symptoms. And our spiritual health is not good either at times. 28% of clergy report that they are spiritually undernourished. And 80% believe that pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families, with many of the pastor's children who do not attend church anymore because of what the church has done to their parents. Being a pastor or a staff member can take a toll, and having healthy habits makes a healthy pastor, and a healthy pastor helps make a healthy congregation. So for the health and sake of this congregation, please pray for the physical, mental, and spiritual health of your pastors and staff. So this week, again, we have an opportunity to make a pledge. And if you didn't get the first 3 weeks, they are in the back in the narthex area. This week's pledge is a little bit different because on the back you will find a partial list of our staff. These are the staff that you are most likely to meet and to run into. You'll notice that Ben and Stacy are not on here, but it doesn't mean we don't love them. You can go ahead and pray for Ben and Stacy. But these are the main full-time staff. We have umpteen staff beyond this. So we'd like you to pray for us by name. And even if you don't know everybody, you're like, yeah, I don't have any youth, but I'll pray for Pastor Kyle and the youth ministry and student ministry. Or I've never met John and he takes care of finances, but I'm going to pray for John anyways. So we encourage you to do this and to pray for us. But this is the pledge we ask you to take this week. I am a church member. I will pray for my pastors and staff every day. I understand their work is never ending. Their days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. They must deal with critics. They must be a good spouse and parent. Because my pastors and staff cannot do all things in their own power, I will pray for their strength and wisdom daily. So we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for prayers for us and for our families and our friends and those who support us. We thank you for prayers of protection and for health, because we cannot do the ministry and lead ministry without your support and without your prayers. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for our pastors and staff and all that they do to contribute to your kingdom. And Lord, we ask you to be with each one of us so that we too can pray for those who lead us. And Lord, just open up our hearts and minds to new ways that we can provide support for those who help us to grow in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.